Hey, this is Jim from the Nordies Podcast. We're going to be getting into some hot sports takes in just a minute, but I want to announce we have a new sponsor, Melting Hearts Sunglasses. So this is a local company. It's woman-owned, very cool, great alternative to how expensive designer shades can be. You're going to get the same quality, and they're super awesome. Get them local when you can, right? So check it out, meltingheartsusa.com, and don't think because it's winter you don't need it. That snow is bright. Let's go.
You're listening to the Nordies Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim and Ryan. How's it going?
Very well. It's going great, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here. I had a wild weekend up north fishing and being outdoorsy.
So proud of you, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Re-upping that New Year's resolution from last year?
Yeah, I'm trying to stick with that, get myself outside, catch some fish, and do some things that I don't normally do. For those of you who don't know me on a personal level, my favorite thing is like TV and air conditioning, and so it's always a little bit difficult to get me outside, but over the past few months I've been doing a pretty good job, and it was I was out of my element, but I had a good time with some good friends.
Dude, I guess the weather was pretty wild.
Yeah, we got up there, it was like negative 26, and there was like horizontal winds with snow, and
was it colder than a witch's tit?
No.
or a well digger's ass, apparently.
Yeah, somebody came in hot with that. That was a good comment.
Yeah, it was not too terrible. It was fun. And whenever I do those things and step out of my comfort zone a little bit, I always have a good time. And I'm thankful that I did. So.
Yeah, man. Caught some fish too, huh?
Yeah, it's good to be back. But it was a memorable time. And maybe we'll have to do that sometime. Maybe we'll have to have like a Northeast podcast where we get like a generator and we like record from the woods.
Sounds miserable, but let's do it. I'm down. It's not going to be the one that doesn't
sounds
do
sounds expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Generators are super cheap, like $300-$400. We'll just, we could probably rent one from like Ace Hardware or something.
We'll
for
use
the
your
weekend.
Data to stream it. I mean, I'm coming up with some problems, but we can solve
nothing,
anything.
Nothing that's unsolvable.
Yeah.
All right, like guys. It. Now is a great time to ask you guys to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordeast Podcast. Ask us some questions, tell us what you want to hear, tell us what you want us to talk about. We try to be responsive and change some of our future episodes based on your guys' suggestions and the things you want to hear about. So let us know what beers you want us to try, what things you want us to talk about, what debates you want us to have. And then also subscribe on iTunes to the Nordeast Podcast. Get it right to your phone every single week. Don't have iTunes, go to Podbean and make sure that your favorite podcast, one of your favorite parts of the week, listening to the Nordeast Podcast, is easy, accessible, and it gives you that little reminder right on your phone. So you do that, and while you're doing that, we're going to pour some beers. We have some fun ones in front of us, some that were gifted to us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a special day with the beers. What are we drinking?
So this was a cool deal. So we have a friend of the pod, Zach Keim. He moved out to Baltimore, and he's an avid listener, great supporter. And he said, hey, I want some of these beers that I enjoy that I've found out here that I like to be on the podcast. So he met up with me at Bauhaus. We had a beer. And he transferred over some kind of select Baltimore beers. And this is the first. So this is Garage Banger from a brewery called Black Flag. And it's sort of apparently exemplary of, a Northeast style IPA. So not necessarily like the kind that we've been getting lately with the really foggy. But just like using those hops, and yeah, I think it's really, really tasty.
Very, very good beer. Really, really tasty. It's cool to see that, I don't know how long Black Flag has been making this beer, but it's at least cool to see our local breweries trying what actual Northeast breweries are making and are probably really good at making.
Yeah.
So this is a very good beer in my opinion, all the way from Baltimore. You could say like traveling that far, who knows how it would taste. I think it tastes really good. Really great beer.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, it's fresh. It's super tasty.
I like that it's volume 8.
Dude, the branding is awesome, yeah.
But yeah, volume 8, I'm assuming this is their 8th iteration of this beer. Something that they've worked a long time to perfect, and it's really good.
Yeah, man. So we'll be trying a couple here.
We tried another one earlier.
We tried one earlier because we can't really do, two on the same episode. You guys don't want to take a break while we pour more beers. But yeah, we had a peanut butter porter. That was really good. It's a Sweet Baby Jesus. That's a great name.
It is. From great Duclos. Branding.
So yeah, apparently that beer is like their staple, and we really liked it. I think it was chocolatey and tasty. Well, it's kind of a double porter, double chocolate porter or something.
Yeah, and from what it sounds like, that's kind of how they made their name, making that beer. And that's not too different than
Dangerous, you know,
Man. Dangerous Man here in Northeast Minneapolis. So.
Yeah, did their, you know, chocolate milk stout. People started to talk about that beer, and that was, you know, a few years ago. And now look at them.
Definitely. So thank you so much, Zach, for sending this our way. We have more of them to try later this week. But in the meantime, it's time to talk some sports here on the Northeast Sportscast. And we have to start with the NFL playoffs, the biggest thing that's happening in sports right now. We just found out right before going on air who the Vikings are going to host next week, and it's those bastards, the New Orleans Saints.
Who dat?
Dude, we need some revenge.
We do need some revenge.
Is Sean Payton the most hateable coach, or is Belichick the most hateable coach?
No, no, it's Payton.
Okay.
Belichick is probably an asshole, but he just like is focused on getting to work and doing his job.
He's like the Popovich, but Payton, Popovich is awesome.
Payton wrote a book called How I Saved New Orleans. That guy sucks.
He's the worst.
So, yeah, the Saints come to town, and they are kind of the sexy pick to win the NFC. I don't know why.
Good.
I mean, it's great to have it that way. Somehow, all the talk is going to be about the Saints this week, even though we whooped them in the regular season. We're the home team, 13-3, 7-1 at home, you know, number one defense in the league.
Huge, huge home field advantage.
Yeah, all signs should point to the Vikings, but, you know, we're a team that doesn't talk, and we're a team that doesn't have flashy stars who give weird interviews, and, you know, we're a team that doesn't have the best fantasy football players, and because of that, you know, I think people will spend the whole week talking about the Saints and how they're going to be the team to beat.
So. I mean, we're the forgotten by team. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny to see... You know, there's all these, like, infographics people are making. ESPN's putting them out. Everybody is, right? And they'll pick, like, one player from each team to be, like, the face on this graph. And for us, it's like they're picking, like, Thielen or Diggs. You know, it's like, man, these guys don't have that star power. But that's because it's a whole unit. It's a team effort.
Yeah, so let's just make a quick run through of what happened this week and in the playoffs. With the first game, you had the 4-seed Kansas City Chiefs, winners of the AFC North, hosting the 5-seed Tennessee Titans. Chiefs jumped on them early. Looked like they were going to run away with it.
And it was 21-3 or 20-3 or something at one point.
And then Andy Reid out Andy Reid himself to the max degree. The Kareem Hunt, the leading rusher in the NFL, had what do you have 11 carries or 13 carries or something like that when they had a 21-point lead. Like, are you serious?
21-3, and they got outscored 19-0 in the second half. I mean, blowing the game. And losing to a horrible Tennessee Titans team.
Dude, these AFC teams are bad.
They're terrible.
So bad.
Honestly, Marcus Mariota, the quarterback that everyone thought was going to take the big leap this year, the Tennessee Titans, has more interceptions than touchdowns on the season.
That's fucking wild.
He's not any good, but he did lead his team to victory. There's no one in the world happier than Bill Belichick and the Patriots because they are playing a non-playoff team to go to the conference finals.
And the Chiefs sort of had the Patriots number. I'm not saying in Foxborough at this time of year they would, but the Chiefs, the last few years, at least Andy Reid has, they've been in the games and they've beat the crap out of them a couple times. So I guarantee Bill Belichick is like, thank goodness that we don't have, he's a pretty good offensive coach, Andy Reid coming in, dialing up some crazy stuff with the leading rusher in the NFL.
Leading rusher and a guy like Tyreek Hill who is just a matchup nightmare. I mean, he's a big play machine. Yeah, they're a team that has really matched up well with the Patriots in the past, and they're out, and the Titans are going to New England, and I think that is...
That's over. Do they have to play that game?
Yeah, I don't think they should.
Yeah.
Why risk injury?
Yeah, right.
For exactly. Either team. Just let the...
The Titans are already psyched. They're just thrilled.
Yeah, thrilled to be where they are.
They got their bonuses. You know, they were like, whatever, it's an extra $100,000 on my paycheck. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't expecting this. Phenomenal. We're just happy to be here. 41-10.
Yeah.
It'll be a probably fair score.
Yeah. No, that sounds about right. 41-10 looks about right to me. The next game, last night, kind of the marquee game of the weekend, was the defending NFC champions, Atlanta Falcons, going to the NFC West champion, LA Rams. A 3-6 matchup. In LA, which is never a home field advantage. And the Falcons were just too physical, too experienced. And Julio Jones had a big game. Matt Ryan played really well. The defense put pressure on and frustrated Jared Goff, and it got close for a few minutes, but it was never really in doubt as the Falcons won. Was it 26-13?
Sure.
Yeah.
I believe it was 26-13. So they will automatically go to the one seed, Philadelphia Eagles, next week. And that's where we left off on Saturday. I do think that they beat the Eagles next week.
Yeah.
They're too experienced. They have some guys who are tough matchups. And I think they win a close game there in Philadelphia.
I think it's going to be Saints, Eagles, Patriots for us. Let's go.
Oh, you think the Eagles win?
No, Saints. Sorry, Falcons. Saints, Falcons. Yep. Patriots? Saints, yeah. Falcons, Patriots.
I'd love the Eagles.
Yeah. But I think I'd rather host a team than go to Philadelphia. Yeah, risk that bad weather. Risk some weird game with some weird turnovers.
And that would mean that, you know, Philadelphia put up. Again, yeah. I mean, the team they're facing is going to be tough. So if they beat them, I would be a little bit concerned about it.
Yeah, definitely. And then the first game today, you had a...
This was a really good game.
Yeah, just a...
God.
This was the matchup we were looking for in the playoffs. Yeah,
this is what you want
to
see.
The Buffalo Bills making their long-awaited return to the playoffs.
The only exciting thing that happened was before the game when people were going through tables like absolute crazy.
So the Buffalo Bills and the Bills Mafia showed up to Duval County in Florida, which is kind of a dump too. Okay. And they just out-hicked each other in the parking lot for a while. And then they probably should have just had a bunch of drunk fans on the field seeing who could throw people through tables more than having them even play a game.
Yeah.
Because the Jaguars went for it on 4th-and-1 at the 1-yard line to get the only touchdown of the game and to win the game 10-3.
Blech.
That's boring.
Nothing else to talk about.
Jaguars here in the AFC.
Yeah, Jaguars going to Pittsburgh next week. They won big early in the year against Pittsburgh. I can't see that happening again. I think Pittsburgh wins that game pretty handily.
Yeah.
I feel bad, though, for the Bills. I mean, honestly, they were psyched to get in the playoffs, right? It'll be like when the Wolves get in the playoffs this year. We'll just be happy. But I'm sad that they lost. They're our sister team in the AFC because we both have horrible luck or just performances in the Super Bowl. But we're both 0-4. Never have won one.
I'm sorry.
For me,
Buffalo sucks. Bills Mafia is stupid.
And they're passionate. They're passionate fans like us. They're maybe hicks.
No, they're not passionate fans. They're just looking for an escape from their life to get drunk and watch people hurt themselves. Every week, there are certain people on fire. They're not real fans. Real fans would be there watching the game. They don't need to be hammered, drunk, and jumping off of RVs to watch a football game on a regular-ass Sunday in October.
You go live in Buffalo.
You are so elitist. Yeah, right. Yeah. What do you go
live in Buffalo? You tell me that's not the most fun you've had in 2 years in Buffalo. I'm just slamming your buddy into a cafeteria table.
Real fans aren't drunk fans.
True.
That's what I would say. And they're known for just being hammered drunk and just screaming and being psychos.
That's like the prissiest take you've ever given.
I also think that like you saw the three groups of people that were doing that, and everyone else was pretty normal. That doesn't really mean that that's how they all
are. I mean, guys, they're like...
You're generalizing.
They're getting pretty famous for dildos on the field.
That's what their thing is?
They're throwing dildos onto the field.
Yeah, someone did it once, and now it's a thing.
That's still my AFC team. I support that 100%.
Yeah, so they went to Jacksonville. They lost. Jacksonville plays the Steelers. Final game of the weekend. The 5-seed Panthers play at the NFC South division champion New Orleans Saints. And the Saints did everything they could to keep the Panthers in the game. Panthers missed a critical field goal and dropped a touchdown early in the game that would have changed everything. And they just kind of run out of time and run out of space. Had a hard time protecting Cam. No surprise because Matt Khalil is on their team. And nice. That's who's coming here, the New Orleans Saints. Last time they played us here in the playoffs, or the last time we played them in the playoffs was in New Orleans to go to the Super Bowl. And that's the famous game where they had to change numerous NFL rules afterwards because the Vikings got so screwed.
Yeah.
You had the high-low hits on Favre, which were illegal after that. You had the bounty on Brett Favre, which
Sean Payton lost an entire year.
He was suspended for a year, and Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, was fired. Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal that whole game. And then there was also a very questionable pass interference call on Ben Lieber that led to a field goal. And because of that, they changed the rules that if you kick a field goal in overtime, the other team gets the ball with an opportunity to tie or win. And so all those things happened because of that Saints-Vikings game. The Vikings outgained them by like 300 yards and lost the game because they had 5 turnovers. and we owe them one.
Yeah.
So bring them into town, and let's humble them before the masses in U.S. Bank Stadium, where we are 7-1 and should have quite the home field advantage.
It's time to exercise some demons. Let's just, the past is the past, whatever. This doesn't affect this team.
It has no bearing on what happens.
Listen, we're going to go out, we're going to execute, we're going to make more plays than them. Drew Brees' pass protection was shoddy at best today.
He had some deep bombs, man.
He did have some good throws.
That kind of made me nervous.
That's not going
to happen. If it was like an all-run game, I wouldn't have been as nervous, but they were doing it all. But, you know, they almost lost to the Panthers. It wasn't like they came out and absolutely dominated.
No. And if they try any of that cute stuff against the Vikings, it's not going to go well.
I kind of fall for trick plays a lot, at least when the Bears do them.
This is the NFC divisional round, right? So there's no kidding around anymore. All the teams that are there are pretty good other than the Jaguars.
And the Titans.
And the Titans.
Well, I meant the Titans. The Jaguars, I guess, have a respectable they have a respectable defense, to say the least, and they already beat the Steelers. But we're gonna have to execute to the best that we've done this season. I have no doubt that this team is gonna be ready to go. I have no doubt that everyone there is excited. Like you said, this is a lunch pail and hard hat team. We're going to come out. I hope we punch them in the mouth right away, and we just don't let up. Put the foot on the throat and just keep pressing. Don't try and get too creative and let's go to the deep end of the playbook. Just keep doing what got you here.
So play we don't really need good like defense. Chet McKinnon throwing passes or anything?
No, we don't need it. Okay. I mean, okay, if we're down 20 in the fourth quarter, yeah, let's throw that out there. Right. I'm fine with that, but let's just keep doing what we've done all season long. I don't think the Vikings need to change anything about their game plan or approach or formations and get funky and weird. Let's just do the normal shit. Let's run the ball. Let's control the clock. And let's continue to convert third downs at the pace that we've done all season long, and we will win.
So let's look back to week one. I know it's impossible to look at week one and take too much away from
both
it.
Both teams are very different.
Very different teams. We had Sam Bradford in the game playing maybe the best game of his career.
Probably.
They still had – I know everyone thinks that the reason that they lost is because Adrian Peterson was in the game, but he didn't even lead their team in carries. People all were like, Elvin Kamara wasn't even on the scene yet. He led the team in carries week one. So,
and we shut him down.
Yeah, we shut him down. Kamara had 7 carries for 18 yards. Peterson, 6 for 18. Ingram, 6 for 17. Overall, they ran 21 times for 60 yards. So our number 2 overall rush defense in the league really shut down their rushing offense, which has been so good all year. Their leading receiver was Kobe Fleener, who is out for the season with a concussion. Michael Thomas, who's turned into an absolute superstar, had only 5 catches for 45 yards. Xavier Rhodes did a great job. I believe in coverage, Rhodes gave up under 30 yards to him on the day. So that's a matchup I do like.
So he's going to be back on Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he'll play him. He'll follow him all over the field. Drew Brees really struggled. He threw for 291 yards. He only got sacked one time, but he only had 1 touchdown. Didn't have a great average throwing the ball down the field. We threw the ball all over them. Dalvin Cook did have a big-time day, and he's obviously gone for us. Thielen torched them for 9 for 157. Diggs had 2 touchdowns and 93 yards. There were no turnovers from either team. And, we really, really dominated them. We won by 10, and the game wasn't even that close.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about their O-line, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of in shambles, I think.
Oh, after today? Did they get beat up a little bit today?
They had a guy go out who was, I think he was already, a backup, Eric? The guy that got hurt today with the shin injury that was carted off?
No, he was not a backup. Okay.
Well, either way, they only dressed 7 offensive linemen today, which means that they are not confident in the amount of depth that they have at those positions. And if this – I forget the guy's name.
Pete.
Yeah, if he's out – that means they're going to be bringing in, like, practice squad lineman guy.
He's a below-average left guard. And then the guy that they brought in for him also got injured today. Wow. So they're pretty thin in the middle of that line.
So who would be dominating for Linval. Us on that? Linval would be having a day?
Yeah.
And Everson.
Yeah. Linval, and then it just means that Armstead, who's a pretty good left tackle, will have very little help with Griffin.
Yep.
It means Linval should really have a good day. on the inside. Maybe Tom Johnson benefits a little bit. But when we look at the matchups, I mean, here's really what you're going to have. Griffin on Armstead is a big matchup. Danielle Hunter versus Ramczyk, who's a rookie right tackle who's been really good. Those will be critical matchups for us. Obviously, their interior line, which hasn't been very good and now is really injured against Tom Johnson and Linval Joseph, should be a good matchup for us. I love the matchup of Alvin Kamara versus Anthony Barr. To me, Barr is the perfect player for this game because he loves to run down little running backs. He plays sideline to sideline. He's great in coverage. Kendricks also is pretty good there. And then obviously the marquee matchup of the day is Xavier Rhodes versus Michael Thomas. Trey Waynes will be on Ted Ginn. Really good speed matchup there. They don't have much at tight end, so watch for Harrison Smith to be all over the place in the game. And, a banged up line has a hard time in a super loud stadium. So I would give the advantage to the Vikings defense. I think that the Saints offense is a little overrated. I mean, they're good. They're a top 5-1 in the league, but I think they still are living on like a past reputation to a degree where we still think that Drew Brees is one of the two best quarterbacks in football. And
well, I don't think anybody thinks that, do they?
I think that people think
he's top 10, whatever.
I think people think Brees is better than he is at this point.
I think because of fantasy.
Yeah, because of fantasy football.
He's thought that way.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
When it comes to the other side of the ball, their defensive line is very good. And Cameron Jordan was one of the best in the league. I believe he was an all-pro.
He was.
Defensive end. Yep. So he should give Hill and Reif a tough day. They also are pretty good with their interior line. No big stars. Rankins kind of moves around that defensive line. He's been pretty good. Big time matchup on the outside. Lattimore probably against Diggs. He's also an all-pro. Probably will win defensive rookie of the year. I don't know how big of a deal he was week one. And then finally, I think, I don't know his first name, but Williams is his last name. He's another rookie. He was like a fourth-round pick for them. A matchup with him and Kyle Rudolph is something you'll probably see quite a bit of. If I thought there was a place we could exploit them, it would be their linebackers. Pretty bad, kind of banged up. Manti Te'o is one of their starters at this point
in time.
Fake
girlfriend?
Yeah, fake girlfriend Manti Te'o. So I think that there's some
people don't forget.
I think a guy who we should look to have a big-time game is Kyle Rudolph. If Kyle Rudolph can have a big day against Bell, one of their strong safety, some of those linebackers.
And he should be back healthy, right?
He should be back and pretty healthy. I think that we're a different squad if he is in there. And then finally, how healthy can Elflein be? They've made some big changes for the playoffs. Remmers is not going to play tackle in the playoffs.
Is he going to play guard?
He's going to play right guard in the playoffs, okay. And they're going to move Hill out wide. And shows you how little faith they have in Jeremiah Searles replacing Nick Easton. So your line, if they're healthy, will be Riley Reiff and then Berger.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then Elflein at center, then Remmers, and then Hill.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a mixing up a little bit, but shouldn't be anything too crazy.
But that was pretty much the lineup that played against the Bears, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the same lineup as against the Bears, except you didn't have Elflein, which was a big loss for us.
And I meant from the guard tackle.
Yep.
Which is, and I think they probably did that in, let's see how this looks. And they wouldn't do it again if it didn't work. So I think they're...
You must be okay with it.
Yeah. I think, like you said, I think maybe the edge goes to Hill at tackle and then Remmers at guard over Searles at guard. And then leaving Hill, like maybe he can't play guard. That's just not his spot. Yep. So
They had to pick between Searles and Hill.
Yeah.
And they just said, we'd rather have Hill out there.
Well, and Hill, Searles is a little older. Hill's had a really good season filling in for Remmers.
Yep.
So I don't think we're going to lose any steps in that regard. And that should be fine. Let's run the ball. I want to run the ball.
Yeah. I mean, if we're healthy up front, we should be able to run the ball on this team,
How many times, though, here's what I'm thinking. How many times do you think Brees is going to pass the ball? I'm saying no less than 45 times.
Oh, you think he's going to sling it around, really?
Absolutely. I think the way you listed out, look, we talked about the O-line being weak. They didn't have a good running game against us. If they open up the running game, that's obviously going to – but with our interior D-line and ends, I don't see him running a whole lot successfully with a patchwork offensive line at home or on the road for them at our place. I think they're just going to have to start chucking it, and they're going to do a lot of three-step drops, a lot of quick get rid of the ball, like take our pass rush out of the equation by just getting rid of it. And I think that's going to be their best bet. I guarantee they're going to throw four. I'm going to say 45 times.
I mean, this is like such a sexy matchup, though, because you have the number two offense in the league versus the number one defense in the league. You have the number five passing offense versus the number two passing defense. You have the number five rushing offense versus the number two rushing defense.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fifth in both. We're second in both. I mean, it's just going to be strength on strength here, and who can come out on top. I would just have to say I think the home field will be the advantage. If I had to pick right now, I would say the Vikings will beat the Saints in a stressful game 20-17.
Wow. I was going to say 24-17.
I think it will be a good game. I think that their offense and our defense will be a good matchup. I think that their defense is good, but I think we'll be able to score a little bit on them.
Do you see a little bit like when the Rams came here midseason, it was like 7-7 going into the fourth quarter? I could see that. I could see it being 10-7 maybe. You know, our offense isn't necessarily high octane, but doing just enough and not turning the ball over. I could see that. But I hope we're up 20 at halftime, obviously.
I'm going to go 24-13.
24-13 Vikings?
Yes.
So all of us picked the Vikings.
Well, sure. I think that's the safe bet. I think people should be picking the Vikings. I mean, Bill Barnwell said we have a 60.5% chance or something to win. So, I mean, we're the favorites for sure. But, yeah, kind of a tough team to get, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best. I think that the best team in the NFC left is the Vikings, followed by the Saints. And I think there's a bit of a drop-off now after that to maybe the Falcons and then the Eagles.
This is the game that makes me nervous. If we look good here, I'll be very confident about getting to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, this one's I'm going to be so stressed, you guys. I'm not going to handle this well at all.
Sunday's going to be a long day.
And, Eric, you're going to be there?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeez.
I was hoping you could come and just hold my hand here, but okay.
We'll just hug each other for like 3 hours straight.
Before we move on from sports, real quickly, I just want to give you guys the updated 538 projections. They have Tennessee as the worst team left with a 1% chance to win the Super Bowl. Okay. If you're one of the last eight teams and you only have a 1% chance of winning the Super Bowl, that's pretty bad. The seventh best team they have as Jacksonville,
yep,
with a 2% chance to win the Super Bowl. Here's a surprise for you guys. Their sixth best team is the New Orleans Saints.
Interesting.
With only an 8% chance to win the Super Bowl.
Well, because they got to go through us. That definitely, if they were going to Philadelphia, if the Rams had won and then the Saints were going to Philly, I guarantee that Saints percentage would be higher. But they got to go to Minnesota against a 13-3 team.
The odds, we're talking odds, are that we won.
They give them a 37% chance to win the game.
Okay.
That's probably fair. I'd say that's right where it should be.
Their fifth best team is the Atlanta Falcons with a 9% chance to win the Super Bowl. Their fourth best team is, and remember, this is for the whole season, so this doesn't account for Carson Wentz being out.
Right. Yeah.
Their fourth best team is the Pittsburgh Steelers with a 14% chance. Their third best team is the Philadelphia Eagles with a 15% chance. Their second best team, the Minnesota Vikings, with an 18% chance to win the Super Bowl, and their number one team, the New England Patriots, with a 34% chance. Okay. So it is looking most likely New England, Minnesota, bring it on.
Let's exercise all the demons at one time.
Have a tough-ass path. Besides the bye, obviously, that helps. We earn that. So, yeah, we'd have to beat some of the best, man.
Well, let's just beat the Saints first. And we'll – I think the score may be a little bit closer, but I feel like it's going to be one of those where we're like, it really wasn't as close as the score showed.
I hope you're right.
Have some faith, man.
I have faith. I think they win in a good game, and I feel different about this team. I don't know if you guys saw the interview with Mike Zimmer where they asked him about his family. His wife passed away a few years ago, mm-hmm. and they asked him about his eye problems and how he risked going blind pretty much to continue to coach.
In one eye.
Yeah, in one eye. And they were asking about it, and he was like, no, it's totally worth it. Like, mm-hmm. this is my family. Like, I love these guys. I love this team.
Was that in-home sitting down?
Yeah. It was a really good interview, and it was just like, that's why this team is the way they are. They have no drama. They don't even give weird interviews. They're just all kind of have that personality of Mike Zimmer. Like, they're just down to business, and they don't mess around, and they just feel a little different than some of the past Vikings teams. So, you know, we're getting to that point where you have to go all in on them a little bit, and it's scary to do that as a Minnesota sports fan, especially when there's an 18% chance that you're happy.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you got to roll the dice. That's about a dice roll.
As good as it gets, man.
And, well, where was it after week four? Less than one? I mean, it had to have been.
Guys, on the podcast, I told you the season was over.
Right. So. No, yeah. I just from a statistical, like, numerical running the odds standpoint, losing Bradford and then Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And then we rattled off however many in a row, lost to Carolina.
After that game, we went 11-1.
Yeah. And lost to Carolina. And I think that loss was hugely important to this football club. Like, they have looked like a different team a little bit, but they had that taste of losing in their mouth kind of late in the season in a game that really did matter for getting home field and keep going on the path that they were going. Some things got fluky, went against them. They still fought back, and it was a touchdown game, had a chance to even tie it up. And I think that was very important for this team moving forward. And I think they're going to, like, hang that final score in the locker room all week long. Like, do not let this happen again.
Mm-hmm. And guys, remember, so if you're listening at home and you're a big Vikings fan and you're feeling the way that we are, which is so nervous but excited at the same time, just remember, you have nothing to worry about, because I sold the country to Donald Trump in exchange for a Vikings Super Bowl last year, because I did say I was fine with him becoming...
The devil's deal has been done.
Yeah, I did it already. So he won. They held up their end of the bet on that one, and now they're going to have to come back and give us that Vikings Super Bowl. So
it's a gentleman's bet.
Feel confident. It's coming, guys. Yep. I apologize for anything...
For the Trump-related shenanigans, but...
I apologize for that, and let's just forget about it for a couple...
You won't in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, so...
No, I'll be thankful.
Yeah. You'd be like, God bless Donald Trump!
I'd say, holy shit, America is great again.
Yeah. It's true. He done did it, that son of a bitch.
So you're going to be wearing your MAGA hat on Sunday to the game?
Oh, God.
No. Purple? I can get you a purple
one. If it was a purple one, I would... Yeah.
Purple with some gold lettering? Ooh. I'm liking this.
I wouldn't do it because it wouldn't even be ironically funny to most people, so...
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Jeez, I need a cigarette after that. It's like 32 minutes on the Viking, so
we needed it. Let me just do a disclaimer. For anybody watching on Facebook right now, anybody listening, you're going to want to listen each and every week to the Sportscast from here on out. These two guys to my front and right are elite sports minds. This is some of the best sports Vikings talk you're going to get. You got to ride this out with us. We need you. We need to come together. This is must listen for
we
the
need
next
everyone
five,
on the
five
train.
Weeks or
we
whatever
need everybody on the train with us at all times.
But the other thing I need from you guys is to be really fucking worried if you don't get a next episode next Monday.
Yeah, right.
If there's no episode that comes out on Monday morning next week, you need to, like, call me.
Yeah, just let's check it up on them. Like, Eric, we're knocking on the door, man. We're here. We got the beer and stuff.
I'll get your parents' phone numbers after the pod tonight, and then I'll just sure I have him on.
My dad will probably be the one to do him. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, it's time to move on to some Timberwolves talk.
Man jumped in front of the light rail on his way out of the Viking Stadium.
Yeah.
Didn't die, horribly injured.
Just like the Vikings, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, resuscitated by Packer fan.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted your transition.
We're going to the Timberwolves. Yeah. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're fourth in the West still, which for some reason I don't think we're moving from that spot.
Oh, really? You don't think Golden State, or I mean the Oklahoma City Thunder might jump us up?
No.
I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder could jump us up, mm-hmm. but we might jump the Spurs.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
I think that there is, I think that one, the Golden State Warriors are alone as the best. And
really?
Then I think
the Rockets are really good too.
They're 3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah,
they've struggled. So I think that 2 through 5, the Rockets,
they have
Spurs,
injury problems. So
Rockets, Spurs, Timberwolves, and Thunder are all pretty close. And I don't think we're gonna end up in 2 or even 3, but I do think that group is all pretty competitive with each other in who can lose to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Right. That's what it is. I'd love to.
Yeah,
man, I'd be psyched to get to the
Western
Conference.
Sign me up.
I mean, 2 series,
dude. I'll take a sweep. I'll take an embarrassing sweep.
Like, yeah, if we win 2 playoff series, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, So the team has been driven by 2 star players, Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns. Towns is a machine right now.
Yeah, he's been playing awesome.
He's shooting
for
almost
the past probably 2 weeks, and Butler's been unbelievable for about a month and a half.
Yeah, and Towns is shooting the hell out of the ball, rebounding at just an incredible clip. In the last two games, he's averaging 23 points and 19 and a half rebounds.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have, 23 boards?
I think he had 23 boards, 25 and 23 personal record, and that's so much, so many.
And then last night, dominant performance against supposedly the best big man team in the NBA.
Well, they gave him hell early in the season. Yeah. It was nice to see him
and
just
Towns
like,
got shut down. That was his worst game of the season.
That was the worst
him.
Game of his career.
And
career.
I guarantee,
he got like 2 points or something. Or,
yeah.
He probably taped that box score to his locker saying like, oh, and all this stuff saying Towns doesn't play well against really good big men.
I know.
Anthony Davis owns him. Can't post up Boogie Cousins. And he was like, I'm going to show you guys.
Dude, he
I'm dominant.
Blew up. Fucking all really, really fun game to watch. It wasn't close at any point, which I appreciate because they really need to have some more dominant performances, especially against a playoff Western Conference team. That's exactly the game you need to beat.
I did see a tweet. I don't remember who it was by, but they said the Timberwolves are the most exciting team in the league. If you think that playing to the exact level of your competition, no matter how good or bad they are, every night is...
Makes for exciting games, but I'm pissed off the entire night when that happens.
They said, yeah, that's fun. And it's the truth. I mean, there's just so many times we play a bottom five team in the league and we look like a bottom five team in the league. And then we play a top five team and we look like a top five team.
Yep.
You know, I think it's a team that's still growing.
Our point differential, I bet, would suggest that we should have a worse record than we do. I bet. Because, I mean, it's got to be pretty close. We don't win by a ton.
Well, let's look at it. Our point differential currently is sitting at 2.8 points, which is good enough for fifth in the Western Conference.
Okay.
So,
well, pretty damn close.
Kind of hanging around that same spot. There's only we're seventh in the league in point differential. So not terrible.
It's actually pretty good.
Actually pretty good. But the Wolves, they're starting to play some defense. They kind of look like they're turning into the team that Tibbs wants them to be. And my faith in Tibbs is not totally restored, but at least a bit more than it was. And it might have just taken Karl-Anthony Towns getting a little angry and Jimmy Butler taking all of Wiggins' shots to get there. But, I mean, they've turned into the team that we were really hoping for them to be. And they kind of ball on both sides of the court right now.
They do. And I'm going to do like a little Tibbs hot take. Ready? So I think everybody's really concerned about the minutes he's giving our starters. You know, in the top 20 minutes players, we have like three of them, so it's a lot. You know, they're getting a lot of minutes, but it's actually dipping a little bit as we get big leads and hold on to them. We can play like Aaron Brooks, Bielitsa, Gorgui Jang for like extended minutes. We're seeing more bench play as we have a comfortable lead.
If we could just get Gorgui like 8 15 foot jumpers the game,
dude,
he'll
he
just
makes them all.
He'll
he?
Make six of them.
Yeah,
and he'll just and maybe a couple free throws here and there get you eight.
Guy
boards.
Has all the wrong skills, but whatever, man. Got to use what you got.
But he
I
just
guess.
He'll just knock down that quick little jumper from the elbow.
Dude
all
should
day
be
long.
Like blocking shots and dunking on people. Instead, he's like
right. He's just not athletic.
Yeah, he's really not. He's just big.
And then you mentioned taking the shots away from Wiggins. My God, he needs to have all the shots taken away from him. Like his self awareness. His awareness of like the game situation of like, I think it was down to like a one possession game against Boston and he came down the court and just threw up that 21 footer and fucking clanged it.
Yeah. Just a
like,
heat
dude,
check. Shitty.
You got to understand who are your hottest guys on the court right now. And you're just going to play hero ball and come jack up some fucking shitty shot. And that's why he's getting his shots taken away from him. And he's a max player. That's what's just it's so frustrating.
It's a little frustrating,
but it's nice. You know, Jimbo, you said it perfectly. Towns and Butler have just completely backpacked this team, and they're going to continue to backpack this team for the rest of the season. And I'm okay with Wiggins playing 29 minutes and shooting 10 times. And if he wants to get that back to where he was a couple seasons ago and last season, get better.
Get better on defense. Just work on defense.
Get better on other parts of the
while
game.
While we're having a nice hot stretch without him
you don't have
being
to do
the reason.
Just
I mean,
try hard in other facets of the game. Try
I think he has been. I've seen him trying on defense, getting a steal here and there, poking a steal, getting a few rebounds. I think he's doing more than just shooting hero ball shots.
Well, I'm glad you noticed that because I feel like You're probably right.
Over I just maybe feel the last like, two or three games. It's not like it's been happening.
Yeah. I just feel like when I watch him and like when I feel like when I pay attention to him and don't watch the ball or anything, I watch what he's doing. It all just seems like Thomas Vanek from The Wild, where it's like, he'll take a lap around the baseline and then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And he'll run down to the other end and then kind of like follow his guy half ass. And then some guy kind of blows by him and he doesn't really make an effort. So maybe it's just the small points in time that I happen to pay attention to him, but it always seems like he's going about 75% until he gets the ball, and then he goes 95%. Yeah.
So Aaron Gleeman, who's a great follow.
Great baseball guy.
If you're a Minnesota sports fan, you like Twitter, Aaron Gleeman is probably one of the people you need to follow. He also has a pretty good local podcast that you should listen to after ours, of course.
After. Gleeman and the Geek? Is that
yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. But Aaron Gleeman is great with statistics on Twitter, and he has a great Andrew Wiggins one to just hammer home exactly what you guys are saying. Andrew Wiggins has the NBA's worst true shooting percentage among players with 500-plus shots.
That's disgusting.
He's shooting 46% on two-pointers, which for a guy who's a slasher, whose game is getting to the rim, is atrocious.
Abysmal, yeah.
He's shooting 32% on three-pointers, which is bad.
That's Ricky bad.
And the most disappointing, he's shooting 62% on free throws.
Jeez, that's really, really frustrating.
His game is built on getting to the line, and getting to the rim, getting to the line, and scoring, you know, 8 of his points a game at the free throw line. Guy's shooting 62%. So here's, it gets worse. He's also taken the NBA's 13th most shots, 29 more shots than Jimmy Butler, and 61 more shots than Karl Anthony Towns.
Holy shit, that's a problem.
Those are brutal numbers. That's insane. Those are brutal numbers for him.
That's why I love the data, man, because I wouldn't have guessed that he takes that many shots.
13th most shots in the NBA, and that's from a guy who's
at a low percentage, so that's a problem. I mean, that's
the same as a turnover.
That attributes some losses right there.
That's the same as a turnover. If you, like the game, the Boston, when he took that horrible jumper, That is a turnover to me. It's no different than giving the team the other ball when you take a horrible, ill-timed, don't have any idea of what we should be running, offense.
You are right. It's worse than just missing it. In fact, now when you pair that data up with what you're actually seeing, it gets worse because he's taking shots at the wrong time. He's taking them when maybe we have a lead and we're not burning any shot clock. He's like pulling up when none of our guys are in position. That's a turnover. When we have no chance to even make a rebound.
I think the other thing that's crazy about him is his free throws are way down. So for his career, including his rookie season, he's averaging 6.1 free throw attempts a game, and he's a 74.6%, so about 75% free throw shooter. This year, he's down to only 4.5 free throw attempts, so almost two whole free throws fewer per game.
And he's making fewer of them.
And he's shooting 60 under about 62%.
I don't know why we're being so negative. Who gives a shit? The whole moral of the story is that he's not having as big of an impact on the team. And we're winning.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't have your third best player be struggling so mightily, and you can't have a max player be struggling so badly if we want to be a playoff team, if we want to be an eventual two or three seed, if we want to be a team. But I mean, Jimmy
Butler.
This isn't
our year.
No, but this is Jimmy Butler's prime. He's not going to get better.
Next year, he'll be the same.
But then we only have him for next year, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's only under contract for this season and next season.
To me, it's like we need to be able to prove that this team is ready to contend in the next. Our window is probably after this year, like the next 3 years,
mm-hmm.
is probably the big window of this team. And it's just like you're going to have to start stepping up Andrew Wiggins. You're going to have to be that third guy who's capable of being Klay Thompson and taking over a game. And I'm not saying we're the Warriors, but I mean, that's the kind of impact a guy like Wiggins, a former number one overall pick, a max player, a guy who averages over 20 points a game for his career, needs to have, and it's just not happening for us.
Or at least, at the very least, have a good quarter here and there where you let Butler just sort of just take a breather on offense a little bit, right? He's never going to stop the motor on D. Let him take a breather on offense for the second, maybe part of the third quarter. He doesn't need to take over and take, you know, 5-6 shots per quarter because nobody else is making them. Like,
mm-hmm.
dude, go off for 15 one quarter. Have a great quarter. Haven't seen that from him since maybe game 2 of the season.
Right.
Just give the other guys a little breathing room. Like, yeah, get your shot, get open. And I feel like he's doing the heat check guy thing where he's just trying to shoot himself into a rhythm, and it's just not working. And I don't know if he's injured and, like, is playing through it or what, but I mean, you can tell by with the eye test, and then Eric, obviously your statistics from Gleeman fully back up the fact that something's wrong, something's off, something's not going right.
So I don't know how much time we're planning to spend on the Timberwolves, but I have one question for you guys. We've seen Teague out for a big stretch now. It's been a couple weeks, I think, and we've seen a lot of play from Tyus Jones, a Minnesota guy, Apple Valley guy. How do you guys think he's doing as a starter? I like his game, kind of.
I like his game.
He's not a proficient scorer, but...
I like his game because his game is to do the little things, to play good defense, to hit a couple spot-up shots, to steal, to control the tempo of the game. And if you follow his career from Apple Valley, AAU, Team USA, Duke, now the Timberwolves, his number one skill is his intelligence, his ability to choose the pace that the game is being played at. That's why he was the number one point guard in his class. He was a national champion, first-round draft pick. He's not a great athlete. He's not an incredible shooter, but he's still a good pro because he's just so damn smart. And I like that they seem to play so smart. They get the ball to the guys who need it in their hands the most. And he's fine not doing the flashy stuff and not taking too many shots and just going out there and being a role player. Sometimes when Teague is out there, I feel like there's just too many mouths to feed and everybody's kind of trying to get their number of shots for the game, and the offense gets a little clunky and a little out of rhythm sometimes when Teague is out
there. For sure. Go down, for sure.
Yeah, like definite stagnant offense happens when he's does this thing where he crosses half court with 17 seconds left on the shot clock, dribbles like three or four times, waits for the screen at 9 seconds, and then kind of does like a hesitation.
Passes to guy who's being defended.
Not
has
really
to get
there.
The ball back.
Or takes a horrible 20-footer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like you said, I like Tyus because he moves. Like, he doesn't just wait at the top of the key for a screen. Like, he's kind of
he'll drive in
all
and
over.
Kick it out. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I do like his game. I get that he's a little undersized and not a fantastic shooter. He's a pretty damn bad actual, like, distant shooter, but I like him, man. I hope he continues to improve.
He's not there yet. And
dude, his steals are crazy, man. It's so important on a team that doesn't have great defense to have a bunch of steals.
Well, and as to have another guy that's, like, trying and is, like, fairly talented on the defensive end is Butler. Like, that helps, and that pays off in dividends. I don't think Teague is there. Tibbs on the radio the other day called Teague one of the best point guards in the league, and I almost yanked the
wheel.
That's
really nice that he said that, but that's just wrong.
Almost jerked the wheel into like a bridge abutment because I was just shocked. Like, really? Tom, are we watching the same tape? I don't think we are. But, yeah. All right. 30 minutes on each team.
Yeah.
That's it. It's been a hell of a pod.
All right, so in our closing segment here, overtime, we're going to talk a little bit about life and death. So we're going to talk. We're first going to have a funeral.
Are we going back to the Vikings then?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're going to have a funeral for the Minnesota Gophers men's basketball team who officially died last night against Indiana. It's not their fault. Reggie Lynch was suspended until 2020 for being charged with. I don't know if there's a legal.
I don't think there's legal. I think this was internal within the U.
But an investigation with the University of Minnesota into a sexual assault that he committed or seemingly has committed, and he has been suspended to the 2020 season. I think that pretty much should be that he's just off the team. If you did something that means that you should be suspended
for a year,
for 2 years,
yeah, right.
You should just not be on the team.
Yeah, what's
the point
of holding
that
roster
point,
spot? I mean, just...
Well, and you know, if he did what he did, that is why he should be off the team.
No, absolutely.
100%.
God damn it. Dude, this team cannot stay scandal-free. A new AD comes in, and it's more of the same. I mean, you can't blame the new AD for this, but they handled it all goofy.
They did. And so
Mark Coyle should never have a microphone in his hand, ever.
Yeah, I think if the punishment that they gave fits the crime, we don't have tons of details on the crime, but it's just something that I don't think he should even be on the team. He's too veteran of a player. It's not a mistake that anyone should be making. It's obviously atrocious, especially at a place where he should know better, at a school where they've dealt with this in the past. For sure, they've been told on numerous occasions about expectations of behavior, and just as being a good human being, he should have a good idea of the way you should treat others, treat women. So I don't think there's really any place for him on the team at this point. He's a guy who, you know, in not as important terms of his crime, he is a guy that we can't replace on our team. Mm-hmm. And then also, Amir Coffey now is injured for looks to be a few weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and these are key weeks. I mean, these are Big Ten games.
A team that already has no bench and no depth has just taken two of their starters from their team.
Yeah.
They're about four players deep now. They'll beat some of the worst teams in the Big Ten, but I think their ability to challenge in the Big Ten and at a national level is pretty much all but gone.
Bye-bye, three seed.
So we're the pallbearers, huh?
I think we're the pallbearers, yeah. I think take some dirt. We're going to toss it on to the casket, and we're going to come back next year as a better, stronger, deeper basketball team. I don't think it's something that we should all be calling for Richard Pitino's head, which I feel like is going to happen now.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like they're gonna go on a big-time losing streak here. They're not going to be a team that's very competitive by the end of the year, and everyone's going to say he's a terrible coach. He's still trying to just build a team from nothing to what he has. He has most of the guys coming back next year. He has he'll probably have one of the 10 best players in all of college basketball next year as a senior, and Murphy. Eric Curry will be back next year. These young guys will all be a year older.
Yeah, Washington will get some good experience now.
Yep, and then I just think it's a team that is not meant to be their best version of themselves this year. So be patient. Let's spend the rest of the year trying to grow, trying to improve, and trying to set ourselves up to be, you know, hopefully one of the 10 best teams in the country next year.
So we no longer make the tournament at all?
I think we'll make the tournament because our record is going to be so good, where we already have 13 wins, 13-4 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to get to 20 wins. I mean, if they could be 20-9, I mean, they could go around 500 the rest of the way. They'd probably still make the tournament. But instead of being a top 5 seed, top 4 seed, they're probably looking to be around those like 8-9 spot, I think, if they do make the tournament. But who knows? Maybe crazier things have happened. You know, maybe everyone steps up their game. Maybe a couple guys who hadn't had their chance yet are going to surprise us. And, you know, hopefully they continue to win games and be really competitive.
Dude, we buried them. You can't come with the hope angle now. It's over.
Dude, did you see Batman versus Superman?
I was going to say, dude, you didn't recognize the rocks
are going to move
on
from the grave a little bit.
The rocks are moving.
Come on, Jimmy Channels.
I think this is more Logan than it is Batman versus Superman. I'm sorry.
Agreed. That's depressing. All right, guys. And then but there is good news, because from death comes life. And rising from the dead, maybe just a bit. Maybe they're just, you know, maybe it's just the rocks moving. Maybe it's they're attempting to come back and they won't be able to. But the Minnesota Wild are trying to. They're getting back to the healthy team that we needed them to be. Nino is back. First game back from injury. He scored a hat trick. Zach Parise is back on the ice. Good to see him back.
Has he got any goals?
No, he almost scored one the other night, but they've been pretty good other than their 7-2 loss last night or two nights ago. They've been pretty good and pretty competitive over the last few games, and being full strength team and just being a little deeper at forward has really helped them. Do you have any hope for the Wild? Do you care at this point? And when do you start caring about Wild hockey?
I'm going to the game this next Saturday, so I'll for sure care at that moment.
Okay.
For that game, I'll care a lot. After that, and even before that, probably not. I mean, you know, I'll watch a playoff game. I hope they get a series. It'll be against a one seed, but you never know. Shit's crazy.
Here's my thing with
NFL,
the Wild.
Or NHL's crazy. Who knows?
I have to say that living in 2018 and just being a normal, busy adult, like everyone else who's listening to this right now, I don't have infinite time to follow every sports team. And I found it a lot easier to follow the Wild when the Timberwolves were just in the wilderness as a team that never could make the playoffs.
And now that's flipped.
And it's flipped.
It's so flipped. Yeah.
It's flipped to the Wild are a team who, you know, maybe they make the playoffs. The Wolves look like a sure thing. And it's not that I'm trying to be a bandwagon fan, but it's just I only have so much time that I can spend on sports. And I use a lot more of that time now.
On Twitter. Oh, okay.
I use a lot more of that time for the Timberwolves at this point. And they play
a lot of the same nights. You know, they played at 8 o'clock. Both of them played at 8 o'clock. And guess which one I watched? All of the Wolves game.
It's going to be – I mean, the Wolves should be on.
Yeah.
That's – hockey's exciting, but I think this Wolves team and the way the NBA has sort of dialed in the 2-hour and 10, 15-minute, you know, game length, 2.5 hours if it gets a little long, is perfect. It's perfect – sports watching, and the Wolves are finally giving you a reason to hope. But anyway, back to the Wild. A little breath of life. I think what are we, like a half a percentage point out of the eighth wild card?
We're tied for the eighth wild card, but the team that's tied with us has a game in hand.
Okay, sure. Well, whatever. So it's within striking distance, and it's not out of reach by any stretch of the imagination. So we're getting our team. This is weird because normally we've started off the seasons with full healthy squad. We go crazy, gangbusters, do really well. Few injuries start to pile up. February is brutal. We win like three games in February and lose like 12. You know, and then that whole cycle starts over. This year it's a little bit different. Like, we came out of the gate terrible. Like, we're awful. Like, one of the worst teams in hockey, which shouldn't have happened. And now we're finally getting everyone healthy, gelling. Defense is playing a little bit better. Dubnyk's playing a little bit better. Neck Stalock did a pretty good job holding down the fort while Dubnyk was out with some injury. So that gives you, it's not Darcy Kemper back
there. I thought Stalock was like better than Dubnyk now.
He was playing better from a, like a
Dubnyk came in, and wasn't it Dubnyk that let in the seven goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to bring Stalock in late.
So take that as the anomaly, I guess, since he's been back. Right. But I mean, he's been decent. And Stalock is not Darcy Kemper, so where you're like, oh my God, Kemper starting. Jesus, God. Can we just,
we're in trouble.
We got to score six
Kemper's
goals.
Kemper's been great this year, though.
I know. Crazy. What? Yeah. So let's see what they can do. I mean, we're, like you said, Jimbo, earlier, with the NHL playoffs, all you got to do is get in the door. That's mm-hmm. the only thing that matters, because all of a sudden, Dubnyk gets hot. Defense gets hot. We start pouring goals in. Some random, like, Granlund starts just sniping away in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, we're in the Western Conference Finals. So yeah. It's just get in that door. Just get that foot in the door. I don't think they're not a good team, but you never know. That's the thing about the playoffs. Like, the Predators can tell you, the Blues can tell you, all these teams that were 8 seeds. The Kings won the whole thing as an 8 seed when they limped in. And all of a sudden, like, you just got to get there. Just get in the playoffs.
That's when I'll start paying attention.
Or let's be terrible and get, like, a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen.
That never happens.
That's not the Wild.
We like the 21st
pick. We're going to be a 9 seed, for sure.
The Wild are like, hey, we currently are the 10th seed in the West. Let's trade our first and third round picks for a guy that is past his prime in his early 30s and probably plays for Buffalo.
And he's a rental. Yeah, and he's a rental, so we're not going to have him for next season.
Yeah, so currently,
the whole, like, sister Buffalo team thing with all their, I think it's,
that's
all coming together for me.
That got weird. That right there, that was incredible.
I know.
So here's your Western Conference. The Wild are currently tied with Colorado and Anaheim in that 8 through 10 spot. So they're all kind of fighting for the playoff spot. They're currently out of the playoffs because of it. But in shocking fashion, they're a point ahead of the Blackhawks, who are 11th in the Western Conference right now. So, you know, there's plenty of hope. One good week and we could be the 4 seed or something like that. I mean, it's the hockey is a crazy game, a streaky game. But I think my biggest worry about the Wild this year is, who is their best player?
Nobody.
Niederreiter or something, because he's hot right now.
Eric Staal is leading the team by quite a bit with 37 points, 19 goals, 18 assists. I mean, that's a good year. But Eric Staal is like an old crafty veteran. He's not supposed to be your star player.
Yeah. Well, that's what he did last season too. And then for the final 2 months of the season, I think he had like 10 points total.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think that's just the big thing, though.
I think it's Granlund. And just maybe statistically, you know, he was out, injured a little bit. Maybe statistically down at this point in the season compared to previous seasons, but he's involved in so many playmaking passes and setups and stick handling and carrying into the zone and just finding the right guy at the right time where you're like, how did he get that pass through there? Good Lord. So I think he's our best playmaker. I don't know about our best player, though.
I would say the best player is probably still Ryan Suter, who is fourth on the team in points as a defenseman. He is maybe leading the league yet again in ice time. He plays almost half the game, by far the leader of our team. And I think he's the acting captain, even though he's got the assistant captain on his jersey. He's probably still the best player. Granlund is right there with him. He is the most of any forward on the ice. But I just think it's just like, who's the guy who's going to take over a playoff series? Who's the guy who's going to win the game in overtime? Who's the guy who can go off for a hat trick on any given night? We just haven't had that guy in too long. And I think that is what keeps us from being one of the truly, really, really, really great teams and contenders every year, from just being a team of 18 good, hard-working hockey players.
Yeah, got to find that guy.
Well, and you know, Boudreaux talks about like the NS Foligno, I think, coil line, which is, I think, our third line. Yeah. Those guys have been really, really good the last couple weeks. And it's nice to see that it's not just our top two lines that have to go out there and perform. Those guys are flying around the ice against, you know, some of the top lines too. Like Boudreaux's not afraid to throw them out there. So some resurgence, a long way to go. But like you said, a little bit of hope. Rocks are trembling on top of the casket, but that's about it right now.
Yeah, and that, is it Kozrupov or Kaprizov?
Yeah, the Russian guy that signed with the KHL that doesn't want to come play for us ever.
Yeah.
Because we didn't roll out the red carpet for him or something?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, so
Red carpets don't happen in sports, dude. That's Hollywood. Stop watching
hockey,
movies.
And hockey, dude. Like, hockey's the least red carpet sport out of all of them. In the middle of winter in Minnesota, that shit will freeze. That's expensive.
Yeah, so Khalil...
Get salt all over it?
Yeah, it looked like shit in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, so, you know, Chuck Fletcher actually went and visited with him Kirill Kaprizov, who has complained about the Wild that they didn't give him enough attention, and he claims to have had really positive talks with him, so hopefully he's coming sooner than later. He is the kind of guy who could transform
Game
us.
Game changer.
He could be like...
Tarasenko.
Tarasenko, yeah. I mean, he could be a Tarasenko hopping into this lineup, a guy who's instantly ready to lead the team in goals.
Dude, when you drop somebody's name that I know in hockey, that means that's a good comparison.
Absolutely. So, I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's one of the best young goal scorers in KHL history. I think he led the league in scoring last year. He's the kind of guy, like, if we could get him here, it could be a game changer. So hopefully those talks went well. Hopefully he's coming. Hopefully he's right around the corner. Hopefully he's here by at least next season. But, you know, those are the kind of things that have to happen for the Wild to be the exciting team that we have come to expect them to be, and they currently aren't.
All right, let's hope he gets here. We need him.
So that's all the time we have. We're feeling nervous just like you are. Vikings hosting the Saints next weekend.
I'm not even going to watch it. I'm going to get a six-pack, and I'm going to sit in my garage with a heater on and just pray.
Just pray.
It's going to be the last game of the weekend, Sunday at 3:40 here in Minneapolis. Hopefully the weather is brutal or something, so it's just uncomfortable for the Saints. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to go negative 30 for the Saints.
Perfect.
Nah.
I want it to be just horrible. If that helps.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Negative 30. I want the Saints to show up and get frostbite and just be miserable.
And they make them park like the bus, like 2 blocks away.
Yeah, they got to walk to the stadium. But yeah, I mean, it's the last game of the weekend. By that time, we will know the other three teams in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. We'll know the Vikings' opponent for the NFC Championship.
Yep.
And yeah.
And we'll probably be recording right after the game. So after the game, flip on the Facebook if you want to watch it right away, or check it out, obviously, on, you know, iTunes or Podbean.
Assuming we can find Eric.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys, might have to
win or lose, I'm a little worried about you. But
it might be on Facebook that you guys are like trying to tell me to get off the edge of something tall.
Okay. we're gonna have to. Oh my god! If we lose and we have to record that night,
It's gonna be horrible.
No one's gonna listen to that. We're not gonna want to record that.
No, we have to move it to Monday.
But that's not gonna happen. No, we're not gonna have to worry about that.
Nope. All right, this year's different. All right, guys, so that's all the time we have. We'll be back with you later this week for our screencast. But in the meantime, enjoy your day and Skol Vikings.